Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhouseonline.com.au.
Well, author and church pastor Ed Dobson had been a Christian for most of his life when he decided to try something completely different. He would attempt to live like Jesus. Kind of sounds ironic. Well, it is. Was it easy? Absolutely not. Dobson was inspired by a book written by A.J. Jacobs a couple of years ago called The Year of Living Biblically. In that book, Jacobs, who's a Jew, went and spent a whole 12 months trying to live out every single one of the laws that he found in the Old Testament. Well, Dobson set out to do a Christian equivalent. He spent a year trying to imitate Jesus in his prayers, in his religious observances, even in the food he ate and the clothes he wore, and especially with the way that he related to people. All of this while battling a degenerative illness. Ed Dobson has written a book about his adventures. It's called The Year of Living Like Jesus. It's full of unexpected surprises, and I'm so glad we've got him on the line. G'day, Ed. Welcome to Open House.
Well, thank you very much, Sharon, and a delight to be with you.
And this is a fascinating journey that you've been on. Now, it's one thing to read A.J. Jacobs' book and be inspired by it. It's another thing to actually take the plunge and say, well, I'm going to do this radical experiment of faith. What really tipped you over the line to make the decision to do it?
Well, A.J. Jacobs is Jewish and agnostic. And so I figured if someone is Jewish and agnostic can take the Bible that seriously, maybe I ought to take it more seriously than I do. So I jumped in to do three things. One, to try to live like Jesus lived. Two, to try to think like Jesus thought. And three, to try and obey his teaching.
Okay, and then you've written this book, which is pretty much just a recapping of your journal over that year. We're going to explore some of the lessons that you've learnt as you've gone through this experiment. Let's talk about some of the things you did first. The food that you ate, the clothing that you wore. Give us some examples of those, just how you physically changed over that year.
Well, Jesus was Jewish, and he was a religious Jew. So I decided that in order to try to live like Jesus lived, I would eat kosher, go to the synagogue, observe Shabbat, keep the feasts and festivals, that I would try to live Jewishly. Of course, to be really authentic, I would have had to wear a robe and sandals, which in the middle of Michigan winter is a bit difficult with all the snow. So I tried to live Jewishly in the 21st century.
Okay, talk about some of the foods that you ate then. Eating kosher means, in practice, what? What did you have to let go of and what did you take on?
Well, no bacon, no sausage, no shrimp, no lobster, no scallops, all the stuff that's good for you. I gave all of that up. As well as, from a rabbinic point of view, you don't eat meat and milk products in the same meal. Meat speaks of death. Milk speaks of life, so you don't mix life and death in the same meal. So that was a bit of a challenge, and I did reasonably well, though I failed quite often.
Okay, and you also started to keep Sabbath in the Jewish way as well. Describe that.
Well, that's a bit of a challenge. The rabbi who helped me think it all through told me that eventually the Sabbath would become a delight. But that never happened during my year because I was so obsessed with what you could do and what you couldn't do. And basically, you're not allowed to create. You're not allowed to work. You're not allowed to write. You're not allowed to turn the light on or off. And I got hung up on all the details, but never fully enjoyed it the way I was supposed to.
Okay. Ed Dobson is with us, and we're talking about his journey of living a whole year as Jesus lived. As he said, he wanted to live like Jesus, think like Jesus, and obey Jesus as much as he could for a whole 12 months, and that meant living like Jesus the Jew. Ed, you also start observing these various festivals, the Passover, the High Holy Days, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. Tell me about that and what you learnt through keeping those festivals as well.
Well, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, which happened a couple of weeks apart, were profoundly moving for me. First of all, you spend most of the day in the synagogue listening primarily to Hebrew, with English thrown in once in a very rare while. In addition, at Rosh Hashanah, you go to a body of water, throw bread on the water, and read from the prophet Micah about God burying our sins in the deepest sea. Mm-hmm. So my beard is really long. It blows in the breeze. I'm dressed in a suit. I go to a river where fishermen are launching their boats, walk out in the end of the dock with the beard blowing in the breeze, throwing bread on the water and reading from the Bible. The fishermen think I am totally nuts. But something profound happened. As I threw the bread in the water, it floated away and began to sink. I had this overwhelming feeling that God had indeed forgiven me. I think it was the physicality of throwing bread on the water that profoundly moved me.
It's really interesting, isn't it, that those of us who are Christians and have been Christians for a while, and maybe particularly those of us who are evangelical Christians, we can lose the fact that Jesus was a devout Jew. He would have done all of these things. You know, as I'm listening to you describe some of these things, and obviously that experience was very profound that you've had, all the rest I kind of go, oh boy, would I want to really do that? The fact is Jesus was living all of this. We tend to forget that, don't we?
Oh, absolutely. We tend to think that Jesus was a Christian, which he wasn't. He was authentically, religiously Jewish.
One thing that you were doing that Jesus wouldn't have done, of course, was that you took on yourself to listen to the Gospels on your iPod a few times every month. In fact, I think you're trying to do it every week. What was the motive behind that?
I wanted to think like Jesus thought, so I figured the best way to do that was by listening to the Gospels. So I said goodbye to Pink Floyd, U2, Van Morrison, Snow Patrol, all my favorite bands, and for a year just listened to the story of the Gospels. Listening to it over and over was profound, and there were moments in my journey where I felt I was standing on the fringes of the crowd, actually listening to Jesus. I literally got caught up in the story.
In fact, there was one time you even acted out the story by heading off to Israel and actually preaching the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus gave from memory, and you baptized people up there. I mean, you lived that aspect of the story out too.
Yeah, that probably was the most meaningful thing during my entire year, was actually going to Israel. And several years ago, I had committed the Sermon on the Mount to memory, knowing that disciples or Talmidim had all of the teachings of the rabbi committed to memory. So I thought, maybe I ought to commit the Sermon on the Mount to memory. Mm-hmm. So I did.
Mm-hmm. As I said before, this book is basically your journal put into print, and you say on January 31, I quote, "I began the month by honking at people who were too slow when the light turned green, and I've ended the month being proud of myself, not very Jesus-like." All of this stuff that you're doing obviously was challenging to you both physically but also spiritually as well. Now, how did it lead to pride in some places?
Every time I felt I was having my act together and I was really trying to follow, in the literal sense, what Jesus said, I ended up being proud of the fact of what I was doing. Hmm. And I discovered underneath the surface that this journey exposed inner motives in a more profound way than in the past. I discovered, even in eating, that it's not what you eat that makes you unclean. It's what comes out of your heart that makes you unclean.
Yeah, in fact, you mentioned that in the book at one stage. This journey of trying to live like Jesus has revealed to me how many of my inner motives are very unlike Jesus. Give us an example of that and how that came about by living out the life of Jesus.
Well, I was invited to go see a movie with some friends. It was Jim Carrey in Yes Man. Mm-hmm. And there's one absolutely hilarious scene that is pretty lewd. and I'm laughing louder than anyone in the whole theater mm-hmm. at this scene. And then I realize I ate kosher, but that doesn't make you clean or unclean. I was laughing at something that, by all accounts, was lewd, though I was really unclean. Yeah. Here I'd eaten right, but my inner motives were wrong. Huh. And that happened repeatedly during my year.
Yes, yes. I think we're going to have to spiral back to that very, very theme. This is Open House right across the nation. Ed Dobson spent 12 months living as much like Jesus as he possibly could, living like Jesus in the way that he ate, in the way that he drank and related to people, the way that he prayed, what he wore, trying to think like Jesus, trying to think like a Jew, and trying to obey Jesus in as closer detail as he possibly could. Let's talk about some of the lessons that you learned then and some of the things that you took out of these experiences. Number one, what was the hardest aspect of living like Jesus?
Well, the living Jewishly was not all that difficult. It was a bit of a pain. I told the rabbi at the end of the year that being Jewish is a pain in the neck, and he said, yes, we Jews have been saying that for 3,000 years. But I think the hardest thing was actually obeying Jesus' teachings, that the way of Jesus is hard, it's difficult, it's painful, it requires commitment, and I would say that especially in evangelical circles here in America, we have made the way of Jesus easy and simple. And I discovered it's not easy and it's sure not simple.
Mm-hmm.
The most disturbing story in Jesus' teaching is the end of the world when the sheep and goats are gathered before him. And he says to the sheep, I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was naked and you clothed me. I was a stranger, you took me in. I was in prison, you took care of me, I was sick, and you came to visit me. And they say, well, when did we see you in all these categories? And Jesus says, whatever you've done to the least of these, you have done to me. And to live that out requires sacrifice, commitment, and compassion. Jesus was into the poor, the oppressed, the marginalized.
To actually live that out. I mean, at one stage, you try to take Jesus very, very literally when he says, give to everyone who asks of you. And you actually end up giving twice to a beggar who rattles off the same lie to you. And you ended up giving him to him twice. And you know that the money isn't going to go to what he's actually suggested. Could you have been taking him too literally?
Well, that's entirely possible. When someone comes to the door, gives you their pitch, and you give them money, and they come back a couple of months later with the same story, you really wonder. So maybe I did take Jesus too literally. Now, I didn't gouge out my eye or cut off my right hand. So I didn't take everything literally.
Yes. Thankfully so. Thankfully so.
Yeah.
I mean, it's interesting. You describe the difficulty of living like Jesus. And in the book, you talk about how one of your friends initially joined up to live out this quest of living like Jesus for a full year, but he found it too hard. And there's this delicious quote that you actually put into the book. He says, quote, I can't keep this up. I work at a church full time, so I can't live like Jesus.
Yes. And we both laugh. But underneath it, it was a serious point that we get so wrapped up in the activities of church, we forget to live like Jesus.
Okay, now tell me about that. What did you feel liberated from then when you lived this year just like Jesus? What did you find in Christianity, and I mean the religion now, that actually holds us back from living like Jesus?
Well, I can't speak for churches in Australia, but I can at least speak for some churches in America. And we are very program-oriented and program-driven. Sometimes those programs really stand in the way of trying to live like Jesus. Jesus was into people. Relationship mattered. And sometimes our programs are not into relationships or people-driven.
In fact, by following Jesus, you headed off to the pub once, which again, for some Christians, and particularly, say, in the US setting, I think even more so than in Australia, can almost be seen as an unchristian act. Jesus was well known as being somebody who did, you know, hang around quote-unquote sinners. He was even accused of being a glutton and a drunkard because of doing that. And so you followed him into the pub.
Yeah, he partied with some very unsavory people. So I decided what I would do is I would go down to the pub, which I did regularly through the entire year, belly up and order a beer and talk about Jesus. And I discovered at the pub, people are really interested in Jesus. They're not necessarily interested in religion or the church, but they are interested in Jesus. And some of my best discussions occurred at the pub. I would argue that the most important thing I did was actually listening to the Gospels over and over and over and over. And there's something about the power of God's Word. It's living, it's powerful, it judges our motives. And if we put ourselves in a place where we are constantly listening to the Gospels and to the Bible, ultimately that will liberate us and set us free.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free."
Ed, before you mentioned how you could live all of these Jewish rituals out. You could live kosher, you could be keeping the Sabbath, you could be doing all of the things that Jesus would have been doing as a good Jew, and yet you found yourself still laughing very hard at a lewd moment in a movie, and you recognized you can do all the external things, but the internal heart still may not be changed, which is quite fascinating because that's exactly what Jesus taught, because folks around him at the time were living like that and saying, oh, I'm so good, I'm living by the Old Testament law, I'm able to keep this and I'm able to keep that, I'm right with God. And he was saying, no, unfortunately, when I look at you, you can actually be clean on the outside but dirty on the inside. Is there not a danger in trying to live like Jesus, you know, trying to live Jewishly, that we can become legalistic in the sense of kind of falling into the same trap?
Well, I think whether it's living Jewishly or living Christianly, I don't even know if that's a word,
mm-hmm.
I think the danger is that we conform to external criteria, but our heart is not ultimately changed. Jesus tells a story of the Pharisee who goes up to pray, and he thanks God he's not as others. And then the tax collector goes up, who beats on his breast and says, "Have mercy on me, a sinner."
Mm.
So throughout the year, I prayed the Orthodox prayer, "Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner," which is a reminder over and over and over of who we are.
Yeah. Ed, I mentioned at the beginning of the interview that you suffer from a degenerative illness. Some people will know it, ALS or motor neurone disease.
Mm-hmm.
And those who know it will know that it affects the muscles, and it slowly you lose the use of your muscles. It's
right.
Obviously quite a devastating illness to have. What did your year of living like Jesus, or how did it help you to deal with that illness?
That's a great question, Sheridan. First of all, when I would get up in the morning, I was focused on trying to live like Jesus. So I tended not to notice the muscle that didn't work, that worked yesterday. So it helped me with a unique focus for a year. Secondly, one-third of the Gospels deals with the last week of Jesus' life. And sometimes evangelical Protestants are into the fact that the tomb is empty, but Jesus is also a suffering Savior, a suffering Messiah. He created the world, yet he was willing to limit himself to the limitations of a human flesh. And so whenever I would get frustrated, I would remember that Jesus suffered, Jesus limited himself, Jesus struggled, Jesus was rejected, And in that way, I found great encouragement in a Savior who suffered.
Yeah, so important, isn't it? We can, like you said, jump very much to the empty tomb, very much to the victory, and yet here is one who gave up glory, it says in the Bible, gave up an unlimitedness and yet took on human form. It's quite something. Yeah.
And in fact, I had a Catholic priest help me think through the suffering of Jesus, because Catholics are much more into the suffering dimension of Jesus than we Protestants are.
Hmm. I also read, too, that you learnt to use the Gospels to pray.
Yes. I ended up praying the Lord's Prayer. I ended up praying, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I also prayed, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. So I tried to pray words from the Gospels. And the rabbi who helped me think through how Jesus would have prayed argued that he would more than likely have prayed the words of Scripture, which, by the way, he prays on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me?
Yes.
So based on that, I tried to pray just the words of Scripture.
Ed, your year of living like Jesus is over. Now, what is your life like now? Did you cut your beard? Have you changed your clothes? Have you gone back to eating regularly?
Yeah. On January 1st, after my year was over, I had shrimp wrapped in bacon.
And I bet you loved every moment of it.
Yes, I enjoyed every bite, and I trimmed up my beard. But my next project is I'm thinking of trying to spend a year living the Sermon on the Mount, wrestling with it, arguing with it, trying to work out what that means.
Yeah. And you as a church pastor, how has this experience of living like Jesus so closely for a year changed what you're doing, how you're preaching, how you're organizing, how you're leading?
Well, I'm not sure that I'm a very good leader. Jesus does not say much about leadership. He says a whole lot about following. So I'm just trying to follow Jesus and obey his teachings. Secondly, if I had to do my ministry all over again, I would spend more time preaching from the Gospels.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to me the Hebrew Scriptures point to Jesus, the epistles interpret Jesus, and most of my time I spend time in the epistles or the Hebrew Scriptures, but not the Gospels.
Hmm.
So if I had to do it over, I would spend more time actually preaching from Jesus' teaching.
Yeah, okay. And after this year of living like Jesus, how do you feel about Jesus? How has it changed your relationship with him?
Well, I think I have discovered the suffering dimension of Jesus in a new and vibrant and living way. And I find great comfort. Maybe it's because I'm struggling and suffering.
Mm.
But I find great comfort in a Savior who not only limited himself to human flesh, but was willing to suffer and to die and to rise again. I like the idea that Jesus suffered like we do.
Yeah. Tempted in all ways and yet still fully faithful. Well, that's an amazing, amazing journey you've been on, Ed. For anybody who wants to take it up and follow it, what's your advice?
Oh, well, my advice is to take, like, the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, read it every day for a month. There's something powerful about reading the same scripture over and over and over and over again until it begins to sink into your life, your mind, your heart, and your behavior.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Ed, when you've done the next book as a result of your spending a year in the Sermon on the Mount, I look forward to us talking again. Thanks so much for your time.
Yes, thank you very much, Sherry.
Yeah. Ed Dobson, who is a church pastor in Michigan in the U.S., The author of a number of books, the latest being The Year of Living Like Jesus, My Journey of Discovering What Jesus Would Really Do. He spent a whole year, 12 months, simply living as close as he could to the life of Jesus, eating the same things, thinking the same things, but most importantly, trying to obey him in as much as he can.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast, thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology. To hear more from Open House, visit openhouseonline.com.au.